One of the really cool things from yesterday's Met victory was Jesse Winker being a badass. And I think what I really enjoyed about it is that Jesse Winker haunted the Mets for years. And it was really, really annoying. I couldn't stand Jesse Winker. I've said a lot of horrible things about him. He would wave at the crowd. He would be very douchey. He had a face that you wanted to punch. He would get big hits. He would wave at us again. He'd make a diving catch. He'd wave at us again. And I hated Jesse Winker. And now I'm in love. It's crazy what...
he's your guy.
He's my guy.
That's true.
It's crazy what wearing different clothes will do to you. He's literally just changed his outfit. That's all he did. He's wearing Met stuff instead of red stuff or national stuff. And now I love him. And yesterday, he did two things that reminded me of my love for Jesse Winker. Number one, he had a knack for the moment.
Yeah.
The Mets are down 2-0. He was the one who immediately provided the monster hit when he came up with 2-1 and nobody out, looking to respond to being down 2-0. And he ended up getting well ahead of an off-speed pitch, one-handed it into the right field corner. And he did that while the Brewer crowd treated him like crap because they don't like him.
Yeah.
And I explained a little bit earlier, if you missed on the Odyssey app, you could rewind. They don't like him in Milwaukee because he was really bad there. He was their Daniel Vogelbach. He was the Yankees' Joey Gallo. He just wasn't good. And so they don't like him because he was ineffective. And here's what he does in a playoff game. He gets a big hit. So having him get the big hit on our team feels a lot better. But then the second thing that he did was just he was such a jackass. And
I mean, he deserves to be, right?
Yeah.
They're booing him.
Yeah.
He's performing. All right, screw you. That's what I would say.
What I couldn't figure out was you look at the replay of the triple, and it looks like he's screaming at somebody. So luckily after the game, Jesse Winker was asked the question, what were you doing? Were you screaming at somebody?
I put, focused my attention on second, and I'm like, I'm going to third. That's all that happened. If y'all think I'm able to run and talk, you don't know my athletic abilities. Can't do that.
Do you buy that, Tiki? He's not athletic enough to talk trash while running?
Well, I don't think it's athletic. I think it's consciousness. It's like, how can you think and run and then also address somebody without getting distracted from where you're going?
Tiki, I am probably the worst athlete you've ever come into contact with. Clearly the worst athlete you've ever worked with. I think that's an easy statement. I raise my hand, I got it.
Yes.
If I was running...
he just knew he was getting there.
If I was running as fast as I could trash talk. It's not that difficult, bro.
How can you focus on...
If Tommy did something... Nah, Tommy, I'm in a good place with him. If Sean did something...
It depends on the intensity of the hustle. If he's really digging it, I doubt he's trash talking. Now, if he's just kind of running fast but coasting, I think you can trash talk.
Here's where I think it doesn't matter. So I'm trying to think of a sequence that would be equivalent.
What are you saying? How are you so... How can you be aware enough to see Willie Adames and be like, hey, yo mama, or whatever?
Well, I don't know if it was Willie Adames, but before we get to that, if Sean Morant... No, Tiki, you're pitching to me.
Yes.
And Sean is the catcher. And Sean's like, Evan, you're not even going to make contact. You're a redheaded fool. This is comical. What are you doing, bro? And I ripped one. I got a good swing. I think I'm athletic enough, and I'm not athletic, to sprint and scream back at Sean, hey, fattest, look at me, wee! I think I'd be able to do that. So the idea that Winker couldn't talk trash while he was running,
it was a good excuse.
Okay, good excuse. John Boy put together a great video in which he overanalyzed everything. He does a great job of analyzing it.
Yep.
There was something that happened in the at-bat, which I don't think is Bush League or anything. It's kind of tricky. And that is William Contreras, right before the pitch, moved his hand and spread some dirt towards Jesse Winker's inside to almost kind of put in his brain, it's coming in on you. Hmm. It's coming in on you. The pitch was supposed to be away. It wasn't really away. It was right down the middle. And so I think Winker felt that, knew the little dirty tricks that William Contreras was finding.
Yeah.
And I think that Winker was screaming back at Contreras, nice try, fattest! That's my honest assessment of what I think happened.
Yeah.
And maybe he even threw in a dig about his intro song.
Right.
That's Edwin's song.
Maybe. Well, or he said, thanks for the help.
Or thanks. Yeah, something like that.
I appreciate you. I know that was supposed to be a way your guy screwed up.
Right. I think he probably used more colorful language. And then Adames started screaming at him. And then Winker started screaming back. So it's natural to say, okay, well, we saw that, Jesse. What did you scream at Willie Adames?
I don't really want to speak on it. I just want to focus on the game tomorrow.
Whoa. Mm. Things got very serious, Tiki.
Yeah.
He went from making jokes about him being unathletic to, I'm not talking
about that. Because he wanted to really say it. But then he's like, I can't say that. It'll ruin my image.
His image.
His image. This good guy that I am. It'll ruin it if I tell him what I actually said.
Okay.
But you could tell by the pause, he was contemplating it.
Oh,
he was actually really thinking about telling them.
So Jesse didn't want to tell us. So naturally, let's go to Willie Adames. Willie, what the hell happened? What was said between you and Jesse Winker?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what was going through his head, but he just started saying some stuff, and I just say something back, you know. I don't know. I think that's, you know, the kind of player it is, you know. Just, you know, that's what it is.
Disappointing? I mean, that's a former teammate of yours last year.
It's surprising. That was surprising that he, you know, that he was saying some stuff. But, you know, like I say, I guess, you know, that's part of his personality. You know, it was just a little bit of a surprise to me, you know. But, you know, we don't back off.
Jeez. That sounds like someone who does it. He wants to fight.
How long was he there?
He was not there very long. Exactly. He was there last year, and he was really, really bad.
Right. So what are we even talking about? It's not like he was a foxhole guy with the Adames.
No. He's bounced around the league with Jesse Winker. Out.
He's an in-and-out guy. If he's good for you, great. If not, whatever.
And you know what I love? I love the fact that Willie Adames has had a great year. He's a free agent at the end of the season. You know what Willie Adames did after the Jesse Winker incident? Nothing. He went 0-3. He didn't respond. Mm-hmm. Like, the best way to respond in baseball, I always felt this way when Winker was on the other side, is not to drill him. The Brewers actually did that on Friday. For those that watched Friday night's game, Winker got drilled because the Brewers don't like him. Clearly, he was on the team. They think he's a douche. They don't like the guy. It's not to drill someone, it's to beat someone.
Yes.
Jesse Winker rips a triple down the right field line. Willie Adames goes 0-3. Now, Willie can change that tonight. He's had a wonderful season. He has been an all-star this year, and he's going to get paid during the offseason. But last night, he went down with a whimper. I love having Jesse Winker on our side.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it comes down to. It's actions. Words are whatever. They're fun. Fun for us. Great for social media. Make amazing posts that we can all comment on. Hey, look at this! But at the end of the day, you got to just do something.
Yeah.
Perform. Then it doesn't matter what's said.
That's it. That's it, man. Rob's in Staten Island. What's up, Rob?
What's going on, guys? How's everything going?
We're good.
Yeah. Before I get to my Met point real quick, the only thing that was... you were talking about the walk-up songs, Mojo Rising.
Yes.
What was worse was the very next year, Who Let the Dogs Out, which I couldn't stand.
We don't talk about that. We actually deleted that from history. That's something we never mentioned because it was so disturbing and bad and stupid. And every time... Don't do that. What are you doing? No, don't do that. Rob, I apologize. I'm sorry. Kill the audio. Rob's trying to make a good phone call, and whoever pressed that... Was that you, Sean? Very uncalled for.
It's a great song.
Yeah, whatever. I'm sorry, Rob. What's the rest of your point? I apologize.
No, it's all good. My main point I wanted to get to is not to get too far ahead, but no matter what happens in this playoffs, what are the impending free agents, besides Alonso, he's the obvious one, which I want back, but what are they going to do with, you know, Iglesias and Severino, Manaya?
Rob, no. Don't do this. Don't do this.
Looking into the offseason already?
Don't do this. Here's the thing about the baseball offseason. There's a lot of time for it. It gets cold quick.
Right.
I don't want to engage in any freaking discussion about the offseason. And you want to know why? Not only is it something I don't look forward to, because that means the Mets season ended, the story hasn't been written. We want to write the story about Pete Alonso. We want to write the story about Jose Iglesias, Luis Severino, Sean Manaea, a lot of guys who are free agents. You have no idea. I have no idea what's going to happen between now and this season concluding, and trust me, that changes our emotions a lot.
Right. Well, it probably shouldn't.
It probably shouldn't.
You should know better.
You're right.
Right.
But that's not true.
Well, I know it isn't, but this is where David Stearns has the hardest and I think most complicated job, because letting your emotions get in the way of decisions is one of the worst things you can do in life.
Well, I don't even think it's just strictly emotions, though. So
I don't think it'll be emotional.
Right now, if I asked the Mets and most Met fans about Pete Alonso's free agency, they would probably give some kind of negative reaction to it. Mm. Now, what if I told you Pete Alonso is going to hit 3 home runs tonight in a winning, clinching game.
Yes.
And then hit 5 home runs against the Phillies in a divisional series and go on some kind of magical postseason run that none of us can predict. I think that would change a majority of Met fans and even David Stearns himself's opinion on keeping him. So that's why the discussion is not only premature, it's going to change based on the results. It really is.
But, there's so many other factors involved. In particular, money and who else they try to target in free agency.
I agree.
That's what it comes down to.
And Teague, you're right that the GM shouldn't do it, but I want to use Sean as an example because Sean feels left out, and I feel bad for him. His team was so good this year that they don't have to play a wild card series. So the Yankees are sitting there, the fans are sitting there, and they're like, hey, what about us? What about us? We'll get to some Yankee stuff later, but hypothetically, Juan Soto in a divisional series against the Kansas City Royals goes 0-17 with 9 strikeouts.
Oof.
Okay? And the Yankees lose. Season's over. Free agency begins. I believe that Hal Steinbrenner and Brian Cashman will do everything to keep him. What would you say on the radio, though, Sean? Would you want him back?
Absolutely. He's earned more. First of all,
really?
I've already seen him win a World Series, not with us. I know he can hit the clutch. It's one series, and I've seen guys have bad series.
Tiki, do you think that Sean would stick with that very well-balanced opinion?
No.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
No shot.
Oh, no.
It depends on how soon after.
No, I said yesterday he's the one guy we will not and cannot boo in this postseason.
You said in an old edition of Posted and Toasted that we actually did yesterday, so it's not that old, boo Aaron Judge out of the stadium. That's you.
He signed long term.
That was after Aaron's historic home run season.
Yes.
And he had not signed the contract yet.
Oh, right. Okay, either way. Wasn't his first postseason failure with the team. And I didn't like the bows over 62 homers. Soto hasn't taken bows this year.
You have an answer for everything.
I do.
I don't believe you. And neither does Tiki.
Sure.
Well, and that may not be the right approach to this, because I think you're right. You've got to be smarter about making evaluations. But things change based on postseason performances.
Are you trying to tie Juan Soto to Pete Alonso? Like,
not at all.
Same stratosphere?
No. I'm trying to explain to Tiki, you, and the audience that one of the things I hate about prematurely talking about free agency is that what happens over the next week or more is going to impact our opinions on it. Sean Manaea is a great example. Sean Manaea is pitching a closeout game tonight. How he pitches, fair or not, is going to change everyone's opinion on how badly you want him back or not. That's just the reality.
It's true. Well, because
good point.
The better you perform in the postseason, the more you become synonymous with the fan.
But I think it's also different for the marginal player, like the guy that you could do with or without.
Marginal is not the right word. You don't think this applies to a guy like Pete who's taken a beating from Met fans?
No, because I don't see him as a marginal player. I see him as a star who just had a bad season.
Right, but he is being talked about as if he's a guy who can knock out a big hit. And I would agree that this year he hasn't had a lot of big hits. He did have one very early in the season that jumps out at me. It was the first time I humped Loogie after a Met victory, and that was when Pete Alonso hit the game-tying home run against the Detroit Tigers in that doubleheader. So he's had big moments, just not a lot of them. I think the opinion that Met fans have on Pete can greatly change based on his performance in these big moments.
No, I would agree with you because the expectation has been all year that he's just going to be heroic, that he's going to be great, that he's going to justify being a Met for the rest of his career. And you just haven't seen those moments yet.
Well,
you're waiting for it. Now, if it happens in the postseason, then forget every comment or thought or dismissive thought you had about him in the regular season.
That's my point.
But that's only because he has a history. Because he has been one of the best power hitters in baseball for the last 4 or 5 years. Because he is a Met long-term and grew up in this system. And so he can be saved by a great postseason. Some other guys wouldn't necessarily be that way.
Yeah, and I also think that we have a very short memory. So I've heard this sentence uttered a lot, whether it's in the Rico B email file or just from other Met fans listening to this radio station who call in, which is Pete never gets a big hit. And it's said over and over again like it's a fact. And it's, of course, not true. I mean, he hasn't had a lot of big hits this season. No one's going to dispute that. But he hasn't had big hits in his career as a Met. That's just lunacy. But that's also the recency bias. So him having a big postseason will change that unfair opinion that people have on him. Ari is calling from Valley Cottage. How you doing today, Ari?
Hey, good afternoon, guys, and Shana Tova to those that celebrate. Now, definitely don't want to take away anything from the Mets win yesterday. I'm a big Mets fan. But one thing that yesterday's game taught me is how much I miss SNY, Gary, Keith, and Ron. Evan, I don't know if you're able to pay attention while you were driving on the road and pulling over.
Yes.
But, you know, three things I want to point out. One, I don't need to see the win probability in the top left corner the whole game. I mean, you could see from game 161, doesn't matter, right?
Right.
Goes from 90% both ways.
Right.
Two.
That's ESPN bet for
in
you.
In the beginning of the in the beginning of the game, the announcer said that both bullpens were healthy.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
You don't, you know, did they not pay attention to the day before when, you know, we had a doubleheader, we used Edwin Diaz? So that kind of ticked me off a little bit.
Yeah, healthy and is three, different than available. They're healthy, but they're just not available.
They might have said available. I'm not too sure. But anyway, and then what pissed me off the most was the half inning where they were interviewing Christian Yelich.
Yeah.
And basically figuring out what he ate for breakfast, his opinions on the team this year.
Right.
You know, meanwhile, you have an important doubleheader, double play ball that you have no idea what's going on.
Yes.
That just pissed me off the most.
You laid it out so brilliantly because those are one of the many issues that we are just force-fed on these national broadcasts. The win probability thing, whatever. It's a meaningless stat that they put up there. You could easily ignore that. Not knowing the Mets or not knowing the Brewers, it's unacceptable. And it's why I've always had the idea that, like, John Shambi's a fine announcer. I don't mean to pick on him. John Shambi should keep his job. But what you should do is you should put a Met analyst and a Brewer analyst. And there's your three-man crew. So whether it can't be Ron, I know he does TBS, Keith Hernandez, and whatever Brewer analyst they have, and I'm telling you, that would be a great broadcast. Boog's the national guy, he gives you the play-by-play, and you have the two local guys that please the Brewer fan and please the Met fan. It is a simple solution. They did it many, many years ago, if I'm not mistaken, long before I was watching baseball. And I don't know why ESPN, Fox, and TBS don't do that. I don't know if it's pride. I don't know what it is, but they should do that.
Yeah, they want to elevate their own people, I think.
Okay. Well, it's...
The problem is it's not endearing to the local listener.
It's not. And it's nothing against Doug Glanville. Like, I listened to Doug last night. I got no problem with Doug Glanville. I really don't. It's nothing against him. It's just that there's no way for Doug Glanville to know as much about the Mets and the Brewers as the announcers who cover those teams would. But the other thing is, oh my God, please, for the love of freaking God, if you want to put that Pete Davidson lookalike, Christian Yelich, on my TV to do an interview, that's fine, do an interview. Don't show me him. I don't need to see him. You can't take up space from the game to show Pete Davidson's face. Just play the audio.
Right.
If you want to interview him, interview him. Most of us are going to mute you anyway so we can listen to the great Howie Rose and Keith Ratt, right? But you can't take up the screen. Like, we need to see Christian Yelich's face. Why do we need to see his face? To remind us he looks awkwardly like Pete Davidson? And then the one question they ask him, which I find interesting, is, hey, Christian, what's up with Adames and Winker? Yelich decides,
I didn't see it.
Cat got my tongue.
What are you talking about?
I don't know if I was at Tiananmen Square. How do I know? I forgot. I misspoke. Like, come on, man. Then don't come on. Why are we wasting our time with Pete Davidson?
Yeah, I wasn't actually at the game. I was just there the last month.
Right. So it sucks, but you got to get used to this. Yankee fans, you guys ready for your turn?
Yeah, we kill them every year.
I know.
We're used to it. This is where, though, the NHL and NBA get it right. They ease you in. You get the local broadcast for that first round, and you're eased into the playoffs. Then it feels like a bigger deal when the national teams come in.
Yeah, and with the wild card round, I guess you could do that. But you know what? ESPN pays a ton of money. Look, ESPN can have their games. Fox can have their games. My idea about the local announcers, like, I don't see the issue with it.
Hmm.
Like, we're keeping the national play-by-play guy. You want to have one national analyst, too, just to give a different perspective.
Yeah,
that's fine.
I don't think it's a conflict. I mean, maybe it is. Is SNY in that direct competition with ESPN? That's the question.
Not now during the playoffs. SNY can't broadcast games. So why do they care?
I'm just thinking about the contracts for the talent. That's all I'm talking about. Not the direct competition, just the contract for the talent.
I'd order that if I'm Major League Baseball. I'd say, listen, for all these regional sports networks, you got to put your guy in for postseason games. Plus, it exposes you. SNY.
Right.
Whatever the Brewers are on. I don't even know what the Brewers are on. Josh in Queens. What's up, Josh?
Probably a network.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up?
What's up?
Hey, well, first of all, Evan, more towards you here. I just started listening to the Rico Brogna. Love it. Love the immediate action. I think it's a great outlet.
Appreciate
to be able to go check things out.
Thank you.
And I guess, TJ, just to shine some light, obviously, I'm a huge Giants fan. Great deal to be able to have this conversation. But real quick, you guys were talking about Pete Alonso earlier and, you know, just a few minutes ago debating, you know, how many moments he sort of had and what would really get him going. Evan, last night on the podcast, you said, you know, Pete didn't have a big hit in that game. And it may be arguable that he didn't even really make that big of an impact offensively, but the guy worked three walks last night.
No. Don't misspoke me. His walk was one of the most important plays of the game. So I'm giving him credit for the walk. That matters.
I'm not going against that. I'm saying that with the, you know, swinging the bat itself, no impact. But I'm saying I heavily agree with you. I think it's huge. And you know what? You gotta learn to walk before you can run. Now, obviously, Pete Alonso is a prolific power hitter, so
right.
You know there's reason why people are getting so hard or going so hard on him, why they're upset. But let's keep in mind, this guy hit 35 home runs this year, and that's considered a down year. That's a top year for almost any average
baseball.
And I think he gets going, and they blow up Montas, who's got close to 5 ERA.
Josh, I hope so. And look, Pete hit 34 home runs, and you're right. That's good for most. Watching him every day, some of them were impactful, not enough of them were impactful. And that criticism is fine. And I'm sorry I took it. I got very jumpy because I thought he was ripping me for ripping Pete Alonso. I don't want to hear it. Because yesterday, I thought that walk that he drew right before the Winker triple was a big play in the game.
Of course it was.
I think there will be moments, hopefully there won't be, but there may be a moment in this game coming up tonight where Pete comes up with two on and two out and he strikes out, and he is well-deserved to be ripped. But when you draw three walks, one of which coming right before a Winker triple, the other one intentional but half intentional. Remember, he got the count to 2-0 before they intentionally walked him. So it's sort of half intentional.
Yeah, they wasted a pitch.
Those matter. Like, those are important moments that can't be dismissed because he didn't hit a sexy three-run home run. But they're going to need him. And I know, Tiki, I've said that a million times. You get sick of hearing it, but I'm going to say it till the season ends.
I don't see it happening. I'm not saying he's not an important part of
it. Why don't you see it happening?
Because he hasn't done it all season.
He can't hit a big three-run home run tonight to send him into the next round?
Of course he can.
Well, that's all I'm talking
about. When was the last one he hit?
Impactful home runs?
Yes.
I got to go back to my scorebook.
Right. It's been a minute. And so,
why are you so mad?
I'm not saying this is a bad thing. I'm just saying it's the reality of what this season has been for him. It's not an indication of what his future career is going to be,
right,
hopefully with the Mets, but it just is what this season is.
How come when I said I got to go look at my scorebook, Lugie, you got upset? Do you have the last big home run he hit off the top of your head?
I don't.
Then maybe you should start scoring games.
No. I don't live my life that way. If Tiki asked me, I'd say I don't remember, because it was probably a little while ago. Just the scorebook thing. By the way,
what's wrong with the scorebook thing? I just wrote a book. I published one.
It's a way to get an answer.
Yeah.
Speaking of the scorebook.
Yeah.
And you can go back on our free Odyssey Rewind app. Evan, you stopped at the Cloisters last night to score the Met game?
I stopped at the Cloisters to fill in what happened in that crazy fifth.
And everyone else was doing the hanky-panky, and you were there scoring the game.
My assumption is there was a lot of sex. Okay.
The name of the place you stopped at is not the Cloisters.
What's it called?
The Met Cloisters.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. It was in Upper Manhattan, Washington Heights.
Yeah.
It's called the Met Cloisters.
Oh, that's funny.
How about that?
So if you don't believe in the power of positivity, Evan doing something that he normally doesn't do, he didn't want to do DVR, he was scoring the game in traffic, you stopped at the Met Cloisters last night.
The Met Cloisters.
And didn't even know it.
That's crazy, man.
And you picked up some gummies for tonight.
I picked up something very similar, by the way. I don't know if you guys have tried this. Drinks that feature the drugs.
Marijuana.
Yeah. Like regular drinks, they're legal. This is not an illegal thing. I feel very comfortable talking about this.
Well, no one.
Drinks that are laced with, what's it called?
THC and CBD.
He was smoking a doobie. Yeah, I was about to say LSD. I'm glad I didn't because that seems a little bit more powerful. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So I tried one. Relaxes you.
How'd you do one?
I forgot what they're called.
Yeah, I forgot.
There's a word for them. Those type of drinks. I can't think of it.
Drug drinks?
No, it's something else.
Dude, they're sold next to the sodas at Stu Leonard's.
Yeah, it's very cash. So I only had a few sips, Sean, because I really wanted to be careful. Because I'm a lightweight. Tiki knows this about me. I drink a couple of beers, I'm like wasted. It's a really tough scene. So I don't drink because, you know, I want to be responsible. So I took a few sips of this LSD-laced drink.
CBD.
CBD. I get the letters confused. My apologies. CBD.
Uh-huh.
And I only had like two sips, and I felt like, whoa, a little relaxed.
It worked.
I may need that tonight.
I watched all the Sunday 1 o'clock games after drinking a full one. I could tell you every down, distance, and touchdown scored. My eyes were darting all over like Zach Galifianakis in the movie where he counts the 21.
So you give it a positive review, is what you're trying to say.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah. I was hyper-focused.
Don't you like the taste of the alcohol?
No. It has a horrible taste.
You don't understand, though. This is where I'm going to disagree. I like the taste of alcohol, and I like drinking. This was different. You're not going for the same kind of vibe. Like, this was more of like a relaxed attention.
Yeah, it's different. It's not like alcohol, man. It's a completely different world.
Yeah. I'm telling you, I knew everything going on in 8 games at once.
Yeah, you were stoned. That's why.
Yeah.
But it's not really, though.
Did it relax you, though, and make you calmer?
Totally.
Yeah, I'm thinking of like one day, because I'm kind of wired a lot of days, of just having it before a show and seeing what it sounds like. I'll be like, hey, Tiki, what's going on? Yeah, so Robert Saleh's an idiot. I mean, it happens, you know? Aaron Rodgers threw 3 interceptions. What can you do? Speaking of Robert Saleh, does he secretly hate Aaron Rodgers? We try to answer that coming up. Plus more of your Met calls at 888-808-1019. Playoff game later tonight. The Yankees still have their feet up, waiting to see who will their first-round opponent be. Will it be the Orioles? Will it be the Royals? They'll get started in a little bit less than an hour. Earlier today, Robert Saleh had his Wednesday press conference, and he was asked about CadenceGate. For those that forgot, on Sunday, after the Jets' horrific, miserable loss to the Denver Broncos, one of the issues that came up was all the penalties the Jets faced. And Robert Saleh talked about the cadence issue with Aaron Rodgers, that maybe they would have to make some changes. Mm-hmm. Aaron was then brought that answer that Robert Saleh had about making changes, and Aaron responded with, well, or we can hold guys responsible. So it seemed as if there was a little bit of a rift based on the contradictory answers from the head coach and the quarterback. Robert Saleh today was asked, hey, have you guys solved the cadence issue?
Did you and Aaron talk over the cadence thing? And what is your relationship with Aaron now?
There is no cadence issue. There never was a cadence issue. It was created.
What is your relationship with Aaron now? How would you describe it?
Aaron and I are fantastic. Love the guy.
Very few words, but so many things to just swallow from that. Number one, that last part sounds like someone who actually hates the person that they're talking
about.
I love the guy.
I think it's more he hates being asked that question.
That's fair. Maybe that's the issue.
Because the optics are that they don't have a solid relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's like, stop asking me this stupid question, because it doesn't matter. Even if he does hate me and I hate him, he's still my quarterback, and he better be good.
That would be the best answer.
Right? That's all he's got to say.
It's such a true answer, right? Right? You don't have to love him.
Like, who cares?
Yeah.
I think Rodgers... Why does it matter? Right? You're going to sit here and say, oh, well, Aaron Rodgers doesn't like his quarterback, therefore they have no chance to be successful. Like, what? I mean, I don't think Aaron Rodgers liked his previous head coaches, and Mike McCarthy, to be perfectly specific. And you know what? He still did pretty well. Didn't win a Super Bowl, but that's probably not because of his relationship with Mike McCarthy. Is probably because their defense sucked. So I think it's like we start asking these questions that are so irrelevant to what happens on a football field. And I can see why you can get frustrated by it.
Yeah, it's irrelevant to what happens on the football field, but people love to hear it.
Of course, because we live in a social media reality TV world. Like, we care about the drama more than we care about the actualities of what's going on to win a game.
The only thing I care about is, can they form a working relationship that works? Mm. Right? I'll compare it to Mike and the Mad Dog.
But do they need to?
No, they don't. Like, Mike and Chris weren't always friends, they had success. Same thing with Robert and Aaron, right?
But do they actually need to?
Do they need to have what?
Like a working relationship. Because what exactly is Robert Saleh telling Aaron Rodgers?
That's a great question. Is he telling him anything?
I mean, other than good luck.
But does that work? A head coach and a quarterback who never have to talk to each other because they're so separated?
Let's talk about from an X's and O's standpoint.
Right.
Like, what is he telling him?
Nothing.
Exactly.
The only thing he knows about offense is how to stop it, because he's a very good defensive coordinator.
Right. So why does this relationship matter? I know what one matters is one with Nate Hackett, and they love each other.
They definitely
do. Why is this important other than for a story?
Yeah.
So I hear what he's saying. Like, oh, it was created. The drama around it was created. The actual cadence issue was not created. There was a real disconnect between Robert Saleh's answer and what Aaron Rodgers said. He said, hold people accountable. It wasn't, you know, about you know, the loudness or the discipline. It's like, just hold these guys accountable.
Right.
And that's how Aaron Rodgers wants it to be handled.
It's,
and that's, by the way, how it will be handled. Now, the other question, and I don't know if it was, if we have the actual sound, but someone asked about, oh, are you punishing guys? And Robert Saleh's answer was right. Like, you want these guys to do push-ups? Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, so
how are you punishing a grown man whose job that he's paid to do isn't doing it well? You either bench him or you just trust him to get it right.
I understand that making a guy do push-ups or sit-ups or run gassers or whatever you want to say isn't going to work with a grown man in the NFL. Right. I'm not going to argue that. But what I will say to Robert Saleh is that he has been the head coach of this football team for multiple years.
Yeah.
And this problem continues to exist.
Hmm.
So I wish I could offer a solution. I'd like to be a solution guy, Tiki. I'd be pretending if I could offer a solution.
Right.
How the hell could I offer one? All I know, and I guess this is my retort to Robert Saleh sarcastically saying, what do you want me to do, make him do gassers or push-ups or whatever was actually said? Well, something's got to give, bro.
Well, I mean,
something's got to change.
It's got to be a point of emphasis. That's really what it comes
down
to.
Yeah, it's got to stop.
Right.
The Jets can't kick themselves in their own you-know-whats every week. And it's been going on for a long time. The cadence thing is not a made-up thing. That's the other thing. And let's expose that. Let's go back to Sunday.
Yeah.
Let's start with Robert Saleh. Robert Saleh is asked about, hey, a lot of pre-snap penalties. This is what Robert Saleh said about this.
We got to figure it out. Whether or not we're good enough to handle all the, or ready to handle all the cadence. Cadence had not been an issue. All camp felt like our operation had been operating pretty good. Obviously, today took a major step back.
So that's what Robert said. And then Aaron, you know, naturally the media is going to take what Coach said and said, hey, Aaron, what do you think about what Coach said?
It's been a weapon. We use it every day in practice. We don't, you know, we rarely have a false start. And to have, I don't know, five today, it seemed like, four or five. Yeah, it seems like an outlier. I don't know if we need to make mass changes based on, you know, kind of an outlier game.
It is a contradiction.
I think he's right.
I think he's right. And it's also, wait, who, Robert?
No, I think Aaron's right.
Yeah, he is right.
It's an outlier game. It's not like this hasn't happened. Didn't happen in week three or two or one.
But then how can Robert Saleh say it was basically made up by the media or whomever? It wasn't. There was a contradiction between the head coach and the quarterback.
I think he's talking about the drama. I think he's talking about the... He's speaking, even though I don't know if that was directly asked, he's speaking to the disconnect between him and Aaron Rodgers.
Mm.
That's what he's talking about. Because that was the follow-up question. I mean, that was the addendum question.
Well, but the question was, have you guys resolved the cadence issue? And he said, there is no issue. No. You guys made it up.
Have you resolved the cadence issue?
Right.
And how is your relationship? There's two questions, which you never should do, by the way. The cadence issue, and how was your relationship?
No, it was a follow-up. Take a listen to it one more time. Think about how this was laid out. This was earlier today at Robert Saleh's press conference when he's asked about this. And obviously this occurred on Sunday, but a few days have gone by, and the question was posed about the cadence.
You and Aaron talk over the cadence thing, and what is your relationship
with
Aaron now? He's answering the second question.
You're right.
That's the reporter's bad.
Yeah.
He's answering the second question.
You got to separate them.
Well, what do you want the answer to? Do you want, what's wrong with the cadence? Stop, wait for an answer. Or, what's your relationship with Aaron Rodgers?
Love the guy.
Because right now, the perception is that there's this disconnect between Aaron Rodgers and his head coach, Robert Saleh. And so if you do a two-part question, Robert's going to answer the one that's most emotional to him. It's what we do. We answer the emotional, our emotional response comes before logic. For whatever reason, we are, as humans, we go that way. And so as soon as someone asks him about his relationship with Aaron Rodgers, he gets pissed off. And so he's talking about his relationship with Aaron Rodgers as being made up.
And you're telling me it doesn't matter if they have any relationship at all.
I don't think it matters at all. Because what is he doing X's and O's with Aaron Rodgers?
What is he doing X's and O's, X's with Aaron Rodgers?
Honestly, probably nothing.
So Robert Saleh is the CEO slash defensive coordinator of the New York Jets.
Yes.
So
is what he was hired to be.
Okay, so I want you to help me out then, all right? Because I'm just a crazy fan that sits on my fat ass on a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
When there are penalties specifically to the offense and specifically pre-snap penalties, who should I, Evan Roberts, Jet fan, be mad at?
whoever had the pre-snap penalty.
So just the individual. And then who do I blame for that? I can't blame any coaches for this. It's just literally on John Simpson. Hey, John.
I remember we used to have... So Sean Payton used to be one... He was one of the early implementers of this. This is back in 2000 it was. And we'd have these dummy counts. It's all dummy counts. Mm-hmm. So you get up, you call it, you do your cadence like, you, hey, red 23. Said, all right! Right? You just do a dummy count.
Here we go!
And it means nothing.
Right.
And you just, because it's dummy count on, you know, second or third dummy count. And I remember Sean Payton used to get so pissed off at us and training camp because we couldn't, like, we weren't used to it. It was brand new then. And so guys were jumping off sides. They were like, wait, which dummy count is this on? And what are we going on? And it was like Monday for one and Tuesday for two. And so we get up to the line of scrimmage. He's like, dummy count on, you know, on Tuesday. And so you go through the dummy count, and then you got to, right, wait, is it on one or is it on two? Right? It's Tuesday, so it's on two. So it's like it's a lot to think
it's
about.
It's complicated,
it
man.
It is, but until you start repping it.
Yeah.
And then you rep it, and then it becomes second nature. You don't even have to really, you hear it, and it absorbs, and you execute.
So it's just repetition.
And Sean used to get pissed. He'd be like, there are 100 women in Radio City that lift their legs at the same time, and you bleeps can't stay on side. It was awesome.
I didn't know where that was going.
The Rockettes is what he's referencing.
Right, that's what he's referencing. But he didn't say the Rockettes. But you know what I mean.
Yes, I got it.
So, it, like, guys have these issues because they're just not used to it.
So it is on the individual.
It's ultimately on the individual. Because it's a tool that Aaron Rodgers uses in how he plays.
Mm.
Right? Some teams don't do it that way.
Right.
Some offenses, Shanahan-based schemes, and you see them all around the league, they're scheming openness. Like, they're scheming guys into space. Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to do that all the time. Sometimes they'll just leave the play call on, but a lot of times he's changing the play at the line of scrimmage.
Mm.
And the reason they do those dummy counts is so that he can get the defense to declare what they're doing.
Right.
Oh, they come up, they step up. Oh, they're bringing pressure. Hey, Garrett, you know, change this thing, blah, 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 opposite or Ringo or whatever the heck the audible is. Run the play on Tuesday, snap the ball, get the ball out.
Yeah.
So it's complicated. Like, this is why football is not a dumb man's game.
No, it's not. I'm already confused.
Right? And so it takes a high football IQ, not necessarily a high intelligence. It takes a high football IQ to execute it without mistake. Right? That last week, the Jets didn't have a high football IQ, team IQ. But that's not how they've been all season long.
No, and it's
so
got to change.
It's been fine.
But it's got to change, especially when you take a step up in competition like they're going to have.
But as Aaron said, it's the outlier. It was one game. And it was probably because the rain was crappy. And it's miserable to play in the rain.
Mm.
Like, you can't think. Like, your body is, you're miserable. Like, you get distracted by the conditions that you're in. Think about walking to the bus station in the rain.
I get it, it's tough, but they may have to win a playoff game in the rain.
Okay, whatever. But
they got to get better at it.
Of course they do.
Yeah.
But just because they had an outlier bad game doesn't mean that every game in the rain is going
to
be bad.
No. You know what? And I said this to you yesterday. It's now Wednesday, 3:47, kind of middle of the week, like the real official middle of the week. I hate myself for saying this. I feel really good about Sunday. Like, all this crap.
You gotta get on a plane tomorrow and fly to London.
I know, that part's depressing. But, like, all this bad stuff or bad non-stuff, because maybe you could argue a lot of this is non-stuff, around the Jets, like this cloud.
Right.
I don't know why. It just gives me, like, weird optimism.
Hmm.
It's very strange.
It is non-stuff.
It is non-stuff. Right. Speaking of which, coming up right at 4 o'clock, I want to do this. I heard the context of Garrett Wilson's comment yesterday, and I don't think he was ripping Nate Hackett. I think he was defending Nate Hackett.
Yeah.
I think he loves Nate Hackett more than Tiki does. Let's get to some of your phone calls, including Carlos in Queens. What's up, Carlos?
What's up, guys? First of all, gentlemen, great show. I love everything that you guys do every single day. But the reason I'm calling is because I heard this conversation about this, about the gummies, the infused drinks.
Right.
So check this out. I am the director of operations of a business called Cakes NYC, Cakes with a K.
Yeah.
Evan, you gotta try this spot. It has infused food, infused drinks. It's a full-service restaurant with cakes, with cookies, with infused burgers, short ribs, tacos. And the good news is we play the games there. So I wanted to put an invite out there If you ever wanted to come by,
thank you.
Have a nice infused meal. This is upscale dining, a specialty dining experience.
Wow.
It's in Queens, in Long Island City, just a few minutes from State
Stadium. I used to live in the LIC, baby.
We throw the game on, or we get mad at Robert Sala together on Sunday because we play the game here, too.
I appreciate the invite. I think I'm going to have to work slowly before I get to that level.
Right, before you go... restaurant hopping?
Yeah.
Tacos.
He was smoking a doobie.
Like, I think I need to experiment a little bit more with these weed-infused drinks.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe tonight's a perfect night as the Mets are looking to eliminate the Milwaukee Brewers, and I am stressed. I'm not stressed yet, but I think I will get there. As soon as I start filling out my lineup card and my scorebook, that's when the stress comes. That's when it starts to hit me.
Oh, yeah, that's what normal people think.
Thank you, Sean. Calling me non-normal. Look at you.
I'm very normal. I'm waiting for the real playoffs to start this weekend.
Touche, sir. John's in Jackson, New Jersey. Whoa! John's in Jackson, New Jersey. What's up, John?
Hey, how's it going, guys? First, quickly, just wanted to make the point. I know you were talking about Ron Darling getting on the ESPN cast. I think the only issue with that is he's got a license agreement with TBS and MLB Network.
No, that's why I suggested Keith Hernandez, because I know Ronnie's got the national stuff. But that would solve the issues, even for the Yankees, when they get to their rounds of the playoffs. Put Paul O'Neill David Cohn's already there, but Paul O'Neill on a broadcast. Like, it gives you that local feel.
I'd take any local Met. Why not do Daniel Murphy? He's got experience doing it. You can get anybody. As long as you have somebody who's around the team and knows what's going on, it makes the fan experience
better.
I agree.
I just wanted to make the point about Edwin Diaz for yesterday and for today. I think yesterday was a complete smokescreen with him even being available. I really don't think there's any shot you let him pitch, not just on the physical scale for injury, but also effectiveness. I don't think throwing 60 pitches in 2 days and getting a third day is going to be a successful outing. And I think even today might be a question mark, depending on how he feels.
Completely agree with you, John. I think there's an assumption being made. No doubt Edwin Diaz is available. I think circumstance is going to tell us. Hmm. So, for example, I'll give you a specific example of this. The other day, I can't believe it was only 2 days ago, when they played game 161, they went for the jugular, and they went for a five-out save. I don't think, even with a lead in the eighth inning, that Mendy's going to do that. Because I think he knows... if I use Edwin today, sure, it could be a closeout game, and that's the ultimate reward, and then great, they have 2 days off and they've advanced, but you're not using him tomorrow. So I think you have to be very careful. Now,
it's a two-out save, not a five-out, or maybe even just an out save if you're going to use Edwin Diaz.
I think it depends. I think, look, if they have a two-run lead in the ninth inning and they've used a lot of their bullpen to get there, yeah, I think they go for the jugular with Edwin, but I think if it's a tie game, even on the road, we've seen him aggressively use him. I don't think he ever uses him in a situation like that. I think he's going to be very careful with how he uses him, because I know it's the playoffs, so you just figure, there's no rules. He threw a crap ton of pitches on Sunday and Monday.
Yeah, 60.
The Mets using Diaz tonight, I'll be very curious. Look at this email I just got. Wow. Finally.
You too? I got an email as well.
I got an email. Welcome to New York, Karl Anthony Towns. This is from the New York Knicks. We are thrilled to welcome Karl Anthony Towns to the New York Knicks. Leon Rose even said something. We are beyond excited to welcome Karl Anthony Towns to the New York Knicks family. Karl Anthony brings a skill set that is unique to the game of basketball. He possesses a blend of playmaking, shooting, rebounding, and defending that in combination with his size allows him to compete at a level rare in this league. So there you go. It's official. Congratulations, Kat, a New York Knick. What was your email?
My email was from Sydney Sweeney. She's in this bathtub, and I don't know what the product is. Don't care. And I had it on mute, and I watched it about 40 times.
Nice.
So I thought you got the same email.
What
because
kind
it's one of those
email is that?
Well, it's algorithms, right? Algorithms?
Algorithm.
Yeah, algorithms.
She's in this bathtub. It's a great thing.
Not that other ism.
A lot of isms. By the way, from Andy Martino here as I try to transition.
Yeah.
Edwin Diaz is from Andy. Edwin Diaz told me, quote, feels great and is good to go today for the Mets. So we don't know if Mendy's going to use him, but Edwin Diaz told Andy Martino that he, quote, feels great and he's good to go.
I think they would use him in the right circumstance. Because I think that Mendy doesn't want to worry about tomorrow. You want to win the game.
Right.
But I think that if you use him, you're not going to have him available tomorrow. Jose Buto is not available today after pitching two innings yesterday. I think he could be available tomorrow. David Peterson would be available tomorrow as well. I'm curious if he would be available today on 2 days rest. Then you've got the full complement of bullpen arms. Phil Maton pitched 3 days in a row, but he finally didn't pitch yesterday. He should be available. So...
We'll see. But hopefully Sho Manaea delivers a long, lengthy performance.
We all hope. Congrats.
What?
Congrats on tonight's advancement.
Don't do that.
What do you mean, don't do that?
Don't congratulate.
I want to be the first to congratulate.
See, why do you got to do that? Why do you got to troll at every turn?
How is that trolling?
The Jets are going 16-1.
That's not a troll.
The Mets advance to the next round.
You don't feel good about this series?
That's not the question. I didn't say I don't
have
feel
a little confidence, man. You don't yell at him for being positive about it.
Because Loogie didn't congratulate his fellow Met fans on advancing.
Loogie, did the Mets win tonight?
Yes.
And do the Mets win tonight is different than congratulations you advance. You don't see the difference?
Here's the difference, too. There was something I was going to tell Evan before the show today, and I bit my tongue on it. I feel this way, but I didn't want to tell Evan this because I didn't want to make him nervous. He's not on the weed pills right now, and I didn't want to get him all crazy. But there is something I wanted to share with him. Sean just has diarrhea of the mouth, and he shared it with you all over the airwaves. And I bit my tongue because I have respect for you
as a
friend.
Which is what? They're going to win tonight?
Maybe a little bit further than that.
What do you mean a little bit further than that? What does that even mean?
But I'm already looking past tonight.
Don't look past. What are you looking at?
This is why I bit my tongue.
Are you breaking down the World Series again? Are you dreaming about a Mets-Yankee World Series like you did yesterday?
There is a story that needs to be finished here.
Oh, my God.
That's why I bit my tongue. Why are you forcing it out of me?
Because, bro, it's like three rounds they still have to complete.
Again, bit my tongue, didn't tell you, this guy is trolling you. I was being the good friend. He's being the horrible friend. Loogie, good friend. Sean, bad friend.
Surrounded by jinxes. When we come back, Garrett Wilson got a bad rap. It was reported that he was ripping Nate Hackett. What have I told you? He was defending Nate Hackett. We'll play you the undeniable proof coming up. Plus, Devontae Adams, eventually a Jet. The Yankees have big decisions to make. And more on Mets Brewers as we get set for Game 2 of the Wild Card Series. Evan and Tiki here on The Fan.